morning, and we thank you that you are the head of the body, and we thank you that you have made us part of the body of Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We thank you for our redemption. We thank you that we can gather in this way to give homage and honor to you as our God and as our head. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in this body, and that you would use your word in this body, even this morning, Lord, to make us more like you and to make us a body that would be beautiful and reflect the image of Christ. So we ask for your assistance, Lord, by your Spirit as we open your word again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in the middle of a fairly lengthy portion of 1 Corinthians that we've been studying for quite a long time, and really in some regard, we're in an area here where I guess you could say we're almost in a mini-series on the topic of spiritual gifts and how they should function in the local church, and for the purpose of that they might edify the church, that it might build up the church, and that we might ultimately reflect Christ as the church. This was obviously a concerning issue in the Corinthian church, and I think it's safe to say that it remains a concerning issue still in the church today. And two problems that have contributed to these concerns of spiritual gifts, and Paul addresses it early in chapter 12, one being ignorance, okay, not actually knowing what the Bible says about spiritual gifts and how they should function, and two, the issue of arrogance, thinking that we are somehow more superior to others because of the gifts that we may possess. And that obviously creates problems. So the question is, what does the Bible say about spiritual gifts? Well, here's what we know to this point. We know that spiritual gifts are diverse. And 2 weeks ago, we identified and defined the majority of the gifts listed in the New Testament. We will address the sign gifts, issues of healing and speaking in tongues as we get to chapter 14. We know that spiritual gifts are used in a variety of ways. Okay, not every gift is used in the same way. Spiritual gifts have a variety of effects. The results are not the same. Spiritual gifts are meant to unify, thus picture the unification of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are unified. They're one God, but they have different functions. And then spiritual gifts are also given to all believers, it says, and for the purpose of strengthening and building up the church, to help us. It's to make us stronger, to make us faithful, to persevere in our walk with the Lord. Last week, we were reminded that as believers, we have been baptized by one Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, when we came to faith in Christ, and therefore, at that point, we become part of one body. And that body, despite its diversity, should exemplify unity. It should look good. It should look beautiful. But sometimes the body doesn't always look so beautiful, does it? And that was really what was going on here in the Corinthian body. It wasn't looking like it should. It was pretty banged up and bruised. It was unhealthy and it was fractured. And as a result, it was causing division and all sorts of problems in the church. And in turn, it was minimizing the witness that they were having on the outside world, because it almost looked like they weren't any different than anybody else. And so as we get to this portion in chapter 12, Paul gives some specific instruction or characteristics of what a healthy body should look like and how it should function so that it can be effective, so that it can be healthy, so that it can edify, and so that it can glorify God in all of it. And so we want to look at five characteristics of a healthy body this morning. The first is this. A healthy body functions with mutual dependence. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, it's almost a little humorous when you read what Paul's saying here in terms of the illustration that he's using, because it almost seems silly. I mean, of course you need your hands. Of course you need your feet. Of course it would be bizarre if there was nothing but eyeballs in the chairs, right? Or if there was nothing but ears in the chairs. And we laugh at that and we go, well, that's just really silly. But as silly as it seems, that's what the Corinthians were doing. Because somehow they had the wrong attitude in either saying or acting like they were more superior to others. And that somehow, because of who they were and how they were gifted, they didn't need anybody else. In other words, I'm an eyeball, and we don't need anything else but eyeballs. And yet that's silly. Paul says so. But as they were doing this, what they were really doing was they were overestimating themselves and in the process underestimating others. And thus, that is why you will often hear the statistic as it relates to churches today that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And actually more lately, I've heard that it's 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Now, I'm thankful to say that, because I did a little research, and I discovered that it's about 2/3 of our people are serving in some capacity at Rothbury Community Church. That's about 67%. And you're going, oh, well, that's really, really good. And that is actually good in comparison to probably what the averages are. But at the same time, I look at that and I say, it's still not what God intended. It's not exactly where it should be. And just for the sake of an illustration, if a car had 3 cylinders, which normally it doesn't, but if it had 3 cylinders and only 2 were functioning, how would the car run? Well, I think we're at least safe to say not as good as it should. And therefore, as a body of believers, we need to be active, but then also be mutually depending on one another if we're really going to be healthy, if we're going to be effective. Now, one of the things that just struck me with this particular point was that it was not one of these points where I could just make the point that, you know what, we need to be more mutually dependent on one another, and I think it would all click for all of us, and away we go, and that would be it. Because I think this is a real struggle, and I think we need to be upfront and honest about that. Because to be mutually dependent on one another is a struggle, and is extremely difficult for us to do that because we don't think that way. Because we live in a culture that is all about individualism, independence, and self-sufficiency. It's all about me. And I'm not suggesting this morning that individualism, independence, and self-sufficiency is all bad, because without it, our children, well after graduating from high school, would still be living in our homes, right? Okay, and that wouldn't be any good at all. Sorry, kids. But individualism, independence, and self-sufficiency, when taken too far, functions in opposition to what God's plan is for the church. And thus, the struggle that the Corinthians were having. See, the truth is, the church cannot be successful, effective, and unified if we do not exercise mutual dependence on one another. And that is why you see so much emphasis in the New Testament on the one another's. For example, be devoted to one another, honor one another, accept one another, admonish one another, greet one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, submit to one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. See, and underneath all of those one another's is the activity of mutual dependence. The fact that we need one another. Derek Prime, in his commentary, says, and I quote, "Spiritual gifts, properly appreciated and used, never make us act independently of the body of Christ, but in harmony with it, in a way that shows that we appreciate the complementary gifts of others." And that really leads us to the second point, which is very similar to the first. And that is, a healthy body recognizes the importance of each part. A healthy body recognizes the importance of each part. Verse 22. "On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require." Now, when Paul says, "on the contrary," what he's saying is, those of you that think some people and their gifts are not important, think again. And I think this is really significant, because one of the primary reasons some Christians never become involved in ministry and never exercise their spiritual gifts is because they feel inferior, or they feel useless, or they feel like they have nothing to offer. Obviously, some in the church in Corinth were feeling like no one needed them. Or they were feeling like, even if I show up, or if I don't show up, nobody's going to even notice or even care. And yet, how often do those feelings creep up in the church today still? And why is that? It's because, again, we live in a culture that only rewards the beautiful and the talented and the prominent, and so it may appear that because what I do is not prominent, it is therefore not important. Listen to me here. Prominence and visibility are not what measures the worth and importance of each member of the body of Christ and the spiritual gift that they have been given. Some of you need to hear that. In fact, Paul says that those whom you think aren't very important, which is what he's referring to when he says the weaker, there in verse 22, he says actually those people are indispensable. In other words, they're not only important, you can't survive without them. They're not optional commodities, they are indispensable. You know what that word indispensable means? It means meaning extremely useful or not to be done without. Now, just expanding a little bit here on Paul's illustration. Things like our face or our hands or our arms are visible in prominent parts of our body. But our liver and our lungs are not visible, prominent parts of our body. But ask yourself this question: can I live or function without my liver or lungs? Well, the obvious answer is, of course not. I don't even have a chance for survival without them. See, we don't think very often about our liver and lungs, at least I don't, because they don't get the same exposure, right, as our face or hands or arms or other areas of our body. Okay, so the lesson here isn't human anatomy, it is the body of Christ. You say, well, what's the lesson? The lesson is, those that are using their gifts or doing ministry that is not in the spotlight, like some other gifts or ministries, are susceptible to being underestimated and underappreciated, yet they are vital to the survival of the body. They are vital to the effectiveness and the health of the local church. Think of those that spend hours, and I mean literal hours, each week quietly and humbly praying for us as pastors, praying for missionaries, praying for you, praying for the needs of the body, praying for the spiritual welfare of this church. Listen, that is indispensable. And yet sometimes it becomes underestimated. Or maybe the people that are actually doing the praying feel like, I just can't do a whole lot. And I say to them, you're doing maybe more than anybody. What about those who, without fanfare, faithfully serve the body by simply preparing a meal for someone in need? Someone that even cleans the restrooms, changes poopy diapers, fixes something on the building, gives, even though they have little, they give sacrificially above and beyond what most of us would give proportionately. I look at that and I say, that is indispensable stuff. Stuff that you and I don't see. And you know, I have to wonder sometimes when we get to glory, I just wonder how surprised we might be of how many of the unnoticed people here on earth that are doing the things that we don't see and don't seem to always be appreciated or noticed or whatever will be the most rewarded people when we get to heaven. And again, I say that to encourage those of you that maybe feel like I can't do much. But we need to gain a biblical perspective of what God is saying about this. And so therefore, in verse 23, just as Paul is saying here, just like you honor certain parts of your body by covering them with clothing, so we need to honor those that quietly serve the body under the radar. And I guess I would encourage those of us that maybe can just in our minds think of somebody in this body that just faithfully keeps serving. Doesn't ask for anything, but just loves to serve behind the scenes. Try to encourage one of those people, would you? And thank them for the way that they serve the body. And I think God will, if we ask God to reveal that to us, I think he'll reveal those things to us. So maybe we can get everybody covered. And be thankful for that. Because listen, everybody in the body of Christ has a part to play, and everyone is important, whether that role is visible or invisible. Number three. A healthy body acknowledges God's providence in how the body is made. And you say, well, what in the world does God's providence have to do with spiritual gifts and a healthy body? Well, actually, a lot. Verse 24, but God has so composed the body. Okay, now the word, let's stop there a second, because the word composed is a very important word because it actually means to mix together or unite together. It's almost like you're throwing all of the ingredients into the, what do you call those things? In a bowl, right? Okay, I don't cook, all right? That is not my gift. And I'm already a little freaked out that I got to make a meal on Friday. No, I'm going to be out of town on Friday. I was thinking my wife's going to be here and I have to make a meal for my kids, but I don't have to worry about that. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to move on here. Anyways, it means to put all of the ingredients in the bowl and turn the blender on and mix it all together. That's how God created the body. Okay, so keep that in mind. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. In other words, it's not just about this part standing out or that part standing out. It's all mixed together. And then in verse 28, it just says, God has appointed, and he goes on to list the various gifts. So understand this. We did not invent spiritual gifts. God did. We didn't put this body together. God did. And it was by God's sovereign choice that he distributes those gifts as he sees fit. See, I don't get a choice like the old game show, Let's Make a Deal. How many of you remember Let's Make a Deal? All right? Some of you oldies, right? All right. Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you, okay? But the show was, you got three curtains, right? Remember that? They got three curtains in front of you, and you don't know what's behind the curtains, so you're looking, and you're trying to figure out, okay, which one do I pick? And behind two of the curtains is a real amazing gift, whatever it is. Could be a car, could be whatever. And behind one of them is a complete dud. That's not how it works when it comes to spiritual gifts. Okay, there are no dud spiritual gifts. They're all needed. They're all important according to God. That's what he says here in this verse. And they all have a special purpose in complementing the function, effectiveness, and the beauty of the body of Christ. So, to either undermine the giftedness of some, to think that we are superior to some, to think that we are inferior to those with more prominent gifts, or to be envious of someone else's gift is not only undermining the grace and wisdom of God and his plan and purpose for the church, but it causes division in the church. God says, I'm blending you together so there won't be division. The word division there is the word schisma. We've talked about this before, but it means to tear, just to rip in half. And so this verse says that God providentially designed the body to perfectly work together. And so if there, well, let's just say maybe some of you feel like there's parts of this body I just really don't like a whole lot. Well, what do I do about that? And I say, well, get over it. Get over it, because God put them here. And if God put them here, then know what that means? That means that they're important to this body, whether you think so or not. And actually, let me take it a step further. God put them here because you need them. You ever think about it that way? Because sometimes we struggle with different people, right? And we get kind of bent out of shape about different parts of the body, right? But we need to understand this properly and theologically in terms of what this is saying, because what this is saying is God put those people here. And God put them here for a purpose. And we are not to undermine that purpose. Because what that does is it causes division in the church. And that division in the church then causes multiple problems. And those multiple problems cause us to be an ineffective witness to the world that needs to know Jesus. You see where it goes? When we depend on each other, and when we see the importance of each other, and when we acknowledge that God knows what he's doing, then I think number four will happen. And that is, a healthy body provides assistance to the rest of the body. A healthy body provides assistance to the rest of the body. Verse 25, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. See, what affects one part of the body affects the rest of the body. And so Paul's saying here, listen, we need to exercise care for one another. And I believe that in the context, it is meaning that we're to care not just for the prominent and for the popular, but those that are not. Those that maybe we don't feel like caring for sometimes. And I think that makes sense because of what he has already said here. Because everybody's just as important as the other person. And so just as a toe that kicks the chair and the pain is identified by the rest of the body, we're to do the same in the body of Christ. And you say, well, how do I do that? Because I don't even know everybody. And so, if I don't know everybody, I mean, how do I know their burdens and how do I know their joys and how do I share in that? Well, that becomes a little more complicated the bigger you become as a church. And so we have to be intentional with that. One intentional thing is life groups help that, which promote obviously deeper fellowship with one another in a context in which we can share our burdens with one another and where we can intentionally hold each other up and care for each other in specific ways. That's why we send out prayer requests via the email or the phone tree on a regular basis. That's why the elders meet to pray through our directory on a regular basis. We want to know what your needs are so we can pray for them. But a healthy body is one that provides assistance to the rest of the body. The body is to serve the rest of the body. The eyes and ears do not serve themselves, but the whole body. The hands do not feed and defend themselves, but the whole body. The heart does not supply blood to itself, but serves the whole body. And yet what is interesting at times is that there is a part of our body that only lives to serve itself, doesn't contribute anything to the rest of the body, and everything it gets, it uses to feed and to grow itself. You know what we call that? We call that cancer. And in the body of Christ, we call that selfishness. And just like cancer, selfishness destroys the body of Christ. Number 5. A healthy body appreciates the difference in giftedness. Okay, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let's stop there. If you're a believer and if you're a follower of Christ, you've been baptized by the Spirit, and thus you are an equal, individual member of the body of Christ. Okay, now within that body, Paul goes on to say, verse 28, and God appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and miracles, and the gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Just a reminder, that's not an extensive list, it's a partial list. The other lists you can find at the beginning of chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. And then verse 29, he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Every single one of these are rhetorical questions with an obvious answer, and the obvious answer is, of course not. Not everybody has the same gift or the same function. I think we should thank God for that, right? Do you imagine if we all did the same thing? Do you imagine if everybody in the orchestra played percussion? It would drive us nuts, right? Can you imagine if the car had a great engine but no wheels? Can you imagine if a football team had only wide receivers? It can't work. It doesn't work. When you're building a house, it requires a diverse assortment of tools. If all you had as a builder was a saw, you might be productive in cutting wood to the right length, but you will be incredibly unproductive in trying to put a nail into a stud. And so the diversity of tools is what makes a builder effective and ultimately produces a beautiful building. But maybe some of you, as you look in your own toolbox, you don't get very excited about what you see. Maybe as you look at your gift, you start comparing your gift to others' gifts around you, and you find yourself becoming envious of someone else's gift because no one seems to appreciate you, and so you'd rather have a more prominent gift. You say, well, what do I do? Well, the first thing you should do is confess that as a sin and ask God to give you a humble heart. Because that envy towards one another in terms of our giftedness causes division. The second thing we need to do is we need to thank God for the gifts that He has graciously given us and not force ourselves to do something that we're not gifted at doing. Okay, so for example, you don't try to be the church treasurer if you have a terrible time balancing your checkbook, for crying out loud, right? You don't try to be the church pianist if you don't have a musical bone in your body. And we could go on and on. How many of you played in band in school? How many of you played band? Oh, lots of you played in band. Yeah, actually I was thinking of that. Subliminal question there, right? Yeah, actually I enjoyed band. I love music and I enjoyed band thoroughly. The only little issue was, you know, we had a band teacher, his name was Mr. Hackett. Whoa. And you know, Mr. Hackett could get a little moody and a little ornery you know, if somebody didn't do something right, or if he didn't come in on time, the right measure, whatever, and he'd get a little crazy, and you know, we'd laugh. And he didn't like that, of course, but man, this guy busted batons like just wham. He just get mad all the time. Man. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. I just, you know, band teachers, I don't know what it is, but I just remember there was a particular day that Mr. Hackett was sick. And so we had a substitute teacher that day, and we had never seen this teacher before. We didn't know him. He didn't know us. Nobody knew anything. I mean, it was great because somebody came up with this idea that maybe we should have a little fun with us, and so because he didn't see if he didn't know us, he didn't know what instruments we played, right? So we came up with this brilliant idea. There's like 40 to 50 of us in the band, and we decided, let's swap instruments. So we all played, well, and we took, you know, did try to do a quick 30-second lesson here, you know, in terms of what's the fingering and everything else. And so everybody has a new instrument, right, that they just don't play. And so he pulls out, you know, one of our pieces of music, and we start, and we start in, man. I'll tell you, the result was absolutely horrifying. And this guy must have been going, oh my goodness, this is just the most pathetic thing I've ever heard in my life. And it was really, really bad. It reminds me when you go to your kid's very first band concert, you know. Yeah, that's really almost what it sounded like. And what we thought was just a hilarious thing really wasn't so hilarious to Mr. Hackett the next day, who got the debriefing from the substitute teacher. But that's another story. The point of the story, after all that, is sometimes I think we try to make things happen in the church that aren't supposed to happen. And we try to do things that we're not supposed to be doing. I think sometimes we ask people to do things that they're not gifted at doing. And sometimes we try to do things because we maybe like the notoriety of that position, but we're really not good at doing it. Let's be careful with that, because God gave us a gift to be used to benefit the body. And if we start doing things that we're not gifted at, what's going to happen? There's going to be chaos. We're not going to function very well. We're not going to be doing what God intended us to do. Let me just say a few things here as we kind of wrap this up. I think one thing we need to remember is this: spiritual gifts and the exercise of them are not for self-glorification, but for mutual edification. And so ask yourself this question: am I trying to make a name for myself in terms of what I do, how I serve, or am I trying to bless and encourage others? Am I trying to draw attention to myself, or am I trying to draw attention to my Savior, Jesus? You see, we're not here to compete with each other. We are here to serve one another. A healthy body is a body where every part of the body is functioning within its intended purpose, understanding that I need all the parts that make up the body of Christ. A healthy body knows how important the function of every part is, whether it is seen or whether it is unseen. You see, God has a plan and purpose for this local church called Rothbury Community Church. And God has brought you to this church not merely to sit in a chair Sunday after Sunday, but to be an active part of the body of Christ. He has given you a specific gift or gifts that are vital to the overall health and function of this entire body. And so not to be active and obedient in that is, again, I'll use the analogy, like an engine running on only some of the cylinders. It may limp along, but it won't do the intended maximum potential job that it was designed to do. And so I ask the inevitable question: are you serving the body? Are you faithfully using your gifts for the good of the body? Because we need you. You're a vital and important part if you make up this body. And God put you here to be an active part of this local body. Last thing, and I think this is important. Understand that left on our own, or done in our own strength, it is impossible. Let me say it again. It is impossible as a diversified body of people to be unified and dependent on each other, to appreciate each other and to care for each other and to be content to faithfully use our gift even if no one sees it, without all of us looking to and being submissive to the conductor, the head of the church, Jesus Christ. That is the key to this whole thing. And as we do that, the instruments that are all so different will then blend together to create this harmonious sound that is stunning and powerful and beautiful, which is edifying then, right, to all of us. And I think not only edifying to all of us, but then the world starts looking in and what's going on at Rothbury Community Church and goes, man, that's good. Wow, do they do that for each other? And you see, to do this right is to also do evangelism right as well. To see the church function as the church was designed is to make a difference in terms of what we show the world in terms of who we are and who Jesus is. And so may we be willing to pick up the instruments that God has given us and then use them
under the direction of the conductor, to build up the body and to glorify Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we pause and we give thanks to you. I'm always amazed, Lord, how diverse we can be as a people. But if we belong to you, it's amazing how you can bring unity to such diversity. Lord, I'm always amazed how you choose to use us. Lord, thank you that you do use us. Help us, Lord, not to think that we have to prove anything to anybody. We just need to be faithful to you. We just need to be faithful to pick up our gift, our instrument that you've graciously given us for the purpose of using it so that we might be a blessing to one another. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to do what we do with that motive. May we care less about spotlights. May we care less about accolades. Because really, Lord, the only spotlight and accolade that counts is what you think. So I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would specifically bring application to our hearts this morning, because we're all in different situations. We all have different gifts. We're all working through different things with a message like this. And so would you just bring clarity to that in our hearts and minds today? And then give us courage to act in obedience to what you've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name.